Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode...
I really do not know what to say. For once, I don't have one more thing to say.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plod. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
It's that time again. We're back. We're ready. It is time for your weekly dose of running motivation. It is the Running with Jake podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lowe. We're going to pretend the world has gone back to normal for our own sanity. We're just going to pretend that this is all a dream. It's all a dream and everything's fine.
Yeah, it's a really weird dream because normally what we do is we speak to each other on our headphones so we can't see each other. But on this occasion, we're doing video chat as well because we miss each other so much. And mate, you've changed.
Yeah, no, well, this is it. I feel like we need to get back to some kind of normal, but let's call it an interim period. I had to, the hair had to go. What can I say? The hair had to go. Do you like it?
Do you know, you go from one extreme to the next. When you've been round to my house before, you've gone, oh, the first thing you do when you come through the door is you go, can I borrow your hairdryer? And then you go upstairs and you dry your hair and then you sit there the entire time making sure there's not a hair out of place. And then the next minute, you're actually shaving your own hair.
I have issues with hair.
Don't you?
That is actually very true. I have to be very honest and say, yes, I do. Immediately go enter your door and say, mate, have you got a hair dryer? Can I buy a hair dryer? And the funny thing is, haven't I got two of your hair dryers? I think I've got your wife's travel hair dryer as well, and I've got my mate Ian's hair dryer when I stay with him in Bramcourt. I've got three hair dryers that I don't own. It's cool, I'm collecting them. I'm gonna eBay them at some point. But I don't need them now anyway, so I can eBay them because the hair just had to go.
You do have hair dryer stops all over the country. It's weird.
It's a convenient way to work. It's better to be prepared, my friend. And I'm not the only one that's having this train of thought. I see from Facebook and social media, a lot of particularly guys are taking to the scissors and the razors, and that at some point the hair's got to go. I mean, how long are we going to be in this lockdown situation for? When are we going to be able to get a haircut? Not my problem anymore. Look at me. Toilet brush.
I know. How long is that going to take to grow back, though? That's my concern, because I'm thinking I need to do something about mine, but at the same time, I'm quite happy to do.
You really do. But you've done something about the beard. The beard's... See, looking at you on the screen here, which it's lovely to see you, by the way, Pete. You know, I've missed your happy face.
Thanks, dude. Thank you.
But you've sort of gone really short round the face here with the beard, but the hair's kind of a little bit... Can I use the word dishevelled?
Yeah, it's overgrown. There's no doubt about it. It's starting to go over my ears. It's starting to get in front of my eyes. And I'm going, I need to get that. I need to sort that. But there's got to be a perfect time to do it so that you do it, you get short hair, but then it's grown back for the time that we are back in society. Do you know what I mean?
Now. I think now
is
the perfect time.
Do you think it is?
Yeah, now. Yeah. I mean, literally, right now.
No, I'm not doing. No.
Come on, it'd be great.
No. Listen, if I'm cutting my own hair with scissors, because I'm not doing a clipper thing, if I'm cutting my own hair with scissors, what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch a YouTube video, because nowadays I can't do anything without watching YouTube.
Well, I can show you. I can demonstrate. Not a problem. I'll talk you through it. Step by step guide.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing it. It's not happening.
No, why have you dropped down in the screen, by the way? Why are you at the bottom of the video screen here? It's freaking me out a little bit. I mean, I miss you, but come on, you know, you're dropping up. That's better. There we go.
Yeah, but I can't, because I need to move my hands about. I've got stuff to do with my hands. I'm holding my phone.
And he's still in his pyjamas.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the world of working from home. I think everybody can relate to this right now. Does anybody get dressed anymore?
I don't think
we're
so.
Talking about normal. Does anybody get dressed? I mean, I'm saving a lot of money on washing powder. There's no question of that. I just don't wear clothes, just in the old PJs most of the time. Although I have got the shorts on today. Beautiful day. It's looking like a beautiful week. We're going to get motivated. We're going to get fired up. And on that very note, actually, if you know someone who is struggling to get out there, they've lost their running love, their running mojo, and they want help to find it again, then let us know. All you need to do is drop us a message at podcast@runningwithjake.com, and I will put a call into them and fire them up in random act of motivation.
This, Jake, is just one of the things that you do at the moment. Obviously, you motivate everybody else, but let's be honest, right? You've got this ankle injury. You're thankfully out of the boot now, and you're able to walk on your ankle. But obviously, it's kind of ruined your year to some extent, because the big thing, Manchester Marathon, you were really looking forward to. You can't do that anymore, and running is your life. Running is everything for you. You do the podcast that's based around running. You train people more one-on-one, that's based around running. You go running, that is clearly running. And you have your performance community, all of the members who you look after, and you train on a regular basis, remotely, but also one-on-one. So the whole thing is running, and all of a sudden the brakes come on and it all stops. And we've talked about how challenging that is. And obviously, it is really challenging for you. And, you know, complete respect to you for doing what you do and continue to motivate other people. That's absolutely brilliant. do you know, it's not just me who thinks this. A lot of people think this. Your performance community are the people who you help out. Details, by the way, of joining the performance community at runningwithjake.com if you want to be part of it. And there's the performance community WhatsApp group, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that's a very happening group. That's great.
That works really well.
What you don't know about is there's a second group. It says, Running with Jake Surprise, brackets, shh, Marty. Who's your girlfriend? She's in on it. I'm in on it. All of the members of the performance community are in on it. And it was Ariane who started it.
What?
Ariane from the performance community started it. She just said, you know what? Jake's really up against it at the moment. And he goes out of his way and he makes everybody else happy. And he's really up against it and he's having a really, really, really hard time. So I'd just like to work on a plan and do something that will make him smile and make him happy. Everybody got the performance community T-shirts that you sent out to them.
Yes, yeah. I've had some more delivered recently, actually.
Everyone looks great in them, and everybody wants to show you how great they looked in them. And I am just about to send you a WhatsApp video now, okay? It's a shame that we're not together. There's a camera on Jake's face, that's there. So if you look at your phone, mate, you should have a video on WhatsApp right now.
I've got WhatsApp up on the main screen, actually. It's not... Nothing's come... Oh, no, he's come through. Video
right,
from
okay.
you.
The video from me, that's yeah. right. It's not just a video from me. It's a video from the performance community. They went out of their way to make it for you. If you watch it now, the
right.
camera is going to get your reaction to you watching it. And obviously, it will be available on runningwithjake.com/podcast, which is where all the notes are available for this episode.
I can't believe this. Shall I play this now, Pete?
Yeah, play this now, Jake.
Okay. I don't actually know what to say to that. Oh my gosh, seriously, my stomach is killing me.
Obviously, you're listening to a podcast right now, so you don't quite understand what's going on.
Gosh.
But just for context, Jake's performance community, we've got a whole bunch of about 9, 10, 11
my
members
gosh.
Of the performance community. Ariane arranged it. She sorted it all out. They were all dancing to Jump Around, the dance that you made famous on the internet, Jake, it's fair to say. And they're all doing that, sporting the brand new Running With Jake shirt. Not only that, but you've got other people as well in their homes who weren't able to be there. You've got Sammy from Toronto. She was on a skiing holiday, mate. You saw her there.
I mean, that is... I don't know what to say to that, Pete. I mean, I do not know what to say to that. That was awesome. That was really awesome.
Do you know, we realise, and Ariane particularly just pointed out that obviously you have dark times and you have times where you're like, bloody hell, I'm knackered. I can't do what I want to do. I can't do what I love today. And I can't do what I've been planning to do for a whole year this year. I'm going to have to hold it off. And obviously, you know, your positive mental attitude, that is absolutely fantastic, but you will have dark moments. And she just wanted to, and everybody in the performance community just wanted to give you a big old pat on the back and say, bloody love what you do, mate. Love you to bits. Get well soon and have a little bit of a laugh.
I mean, I really do not know what to say. For once, I don't have one more thing to say.
For the show notes and video content, go to runningwithjake.com/podcast and follow us on social media.
It's the Running With Jake podcast, your weekly dose of running motivation. It's for everybody, runners of all levels. Actually, it's even for non-runners like my producer, Pete, who is a non-running guy. Actually, I say you're a non-running guy. That's going to change very soon.
What do you mean that's going to change very soon? That's not going to change very soon at all, unless someone chases after me.
Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. You will become a runner, my friend.
Why are you doing that?
Put it this way. I know something that you don't know.
What?
You don't need to worry about that. You just need to be open to things in life. I think it's very important to step outside your comfort zone. We often talk about that on the show, don't we? And you often agree. If we have somebody on the phone talking about comfort zones, and you're like, yeah, yeah, man, you've got to step out your comfort zone. You haven't done that yet. The only thing you step out of it is the studio when you're going for the toilet, your 17th toilet break of the day. So I think it's very important that you make some positive changes, Pete. I think it's going to be awesome for you.
The studio is my comfort zone, and when I step outside of it, I'm outside of my comfort zone, which includes relief in the bathroom. So yes, I do step outside of my comfort zone.
Man, there's a whole world of running just waiting for you to explore. It needs you, Pete. Oh. Pete the producer, it is calling you. It is your calling.
Honestly. What were you saying about that Facebook Live thing that you did anyway?
I've got something special for you. Don't you worry about that, I'm telling you. For anybody that doesn't follow me on Facebook, then all you have to do is search Running With Jake. I'm often popping up on the page doing live videos, giving hints and tips to current runners, but also new runners like Pete the producer here. And the other day I did one that was 14 tips for new runners. Number one is set a target. Now, this might not be as obvious as it sounds, because for many people that are coming into running, they'll probably follow a classic couch to 5K program. It might be group-led, so it might be put on by a local running club and a local leader that is taking you through that program, or it might be something that you download yourself and you go and do. It does not have to be a 5K target. It might be, but it could be a 30-minute target for you. It could be duration-based. It doesn't have to be distance-based. And remember, this is your goal. This is your target. And while the Couch to 5K is a great program, there are other considerations and other targets you can select. So, for example, you might choose time or distance. If you're somebody that has thought about running for a long time, because I find this is often the case with people that embark on a 5K journey, I often find that they've thought about it for many years, but actually it's taken them a long time to bite the bullet and take action. So it's almost that lack of confidence, that fear that stopped them from taking those first steps. And I hear from a lot of people that sometimes it might be something that's down to where they live location-wise. Maybe you live in a particularly busy area and actually you don't really feel comfortable putting the trainers on and getting out there and people seeing you run, you know, through rush hour traffic and this kind of thing. So it might be the fact that actually, do you know what? Your target is to that road that I'm really worried about running down. And every time I'm driving down this road, I think, do you know, it'd be great to run. I'm seeing lots of people, but I can't think of anything worse. People see me in like a running down the road. Well, actually, your target might be to get to the point where you are comfortable and confident doing that. Because how awesome would that feel? So it's really important you set a target. Obviously, give it a time scale. We know that's important. So set a date, a definite date. If it's in the diary, it's more likely to happen. So setting a target is really important. Number two. This is a big one for everybody, but I believe it's particularly important for new runners, and that is understand your why. Now, we will all have a reason why we want to do anything in life, whether that's get up out of bed in the morning or whether that's putting the trainers on and going and learning to run or taking part in an event. There's the obvious reasons that I think we're all very conscious of that we share. So the obvious stuff, you know, you might justify a little bit more food indulgence. It might be a social thing for you to make friends and meet new people. It might be to increase your physical and mental well-being. There'll be conscious reasons that you're hyper aware of that kind of instigated the whole thing, kick-started your journey, your new running journey. But I think there'll also be those underlining reasons that are probably a little bit more subconscious. So if you can really tap into those, that will help keep you on track. And I'll tell you why. It's important for all runners, of course, of all levels. But for new runners in particular, I believe it's really important because you will naturally, when learning anything new, come up against obstacles. You will have frustrations. There will be things that crop up. It won't be a smooth journey. And you'll have those doubts and those fears. And it's very easy when you are creating a habit to, before it actually becomes a habit, that the wheels come off and you sack it off and you don't do it. So understanding the reason as to why you want to do this in the first place and why you want to achieve what you want to achieve, that target will keep you on track. Number three, Now, you might be new to running, and there may be many friends that you've got that already run, and you may feel that they are, you know, so much further ahead than you. But it's not all time-based. Learning is not all time-based. So if you know people that have perhaps been running 5, maybe even 10 years, but actually they may not fully embrace the sport, they might just be casual runners in the sense that they sort of run periodically. When you're learning something new, if you really throw yourself into it, total immersion, full immersion, you will fast-track your learning. So you're going to reach that target much quicker than somebody that doesn't immerse himself in that. So how can you do that? Well, rather than just attending your Couch to 5K session that the local running club is perhaps putting on for you, you can start to read books. You can check out the Running with Jake page, obviously, for tips and advice. You can speak to your local running coaches at the clubs. You can speak to your friends that run. Absorb as much information as possible. Listen to podcasts. Read books. So total immersion or full immersion will help you to fast track your learning, and you'll get there much quicker, which means there's potentially less frustrations as well. So number 4, understand that progress isn't one size fits all. Now, a few years ago, when I first started the whole Running with Jake stuff, I launched some Couch to 5K programs, some beginner running programs. So there was some mobility in there as well, and there was some stretching and a little bit of educational stuff. But I took a small group of people that I believe are all still running, which is wonderful, and got them to be able to run 5K. Now, when I was leading that program, and I was just on my own, by the way, it became apparent that actually people make progress at different rates. Even when you're doing a beginner running program, which is typically run-walk, you know, you're breaking up running with periods of walking to keep the intensity down. But even at that level, at the beginning level, step one, there's still people that make progress at different rates. And I think if you have that awareness, it'll enable you to stay a little bit patient in your mind. You won't beat yourself up if somebody in the group that you happen to be running with appears to be making progress quicker than you. When I did the Couch to 5K, everybody wanted to carry on. So the natural thing was, okay, well, can we get to 10K? And when we went from 5K to 10K, that difference between people broadened even more. So it can make you feel a little bit fearful. It can give feelings of anxiety and like you're not good enough. Remember, everybody has their own individual potential, if you like. You know, we don't all choose our parents. So understand that progress is individual. So stay patient. Number 5 is don't expect to love every session. And this is not just beginners, by the way. You will not love every session. If you follow me on Strava, all you have to do is search Running with Jake. If you want to catch up on the sessions that I do, I post everything, warts and all, the good, the bad, the ugly, the great sessions, the terrible ones, races, the lot. I don't love every session. And I think sometimes for new runners, we can almost think that, well, we should really enjoy running because runners appear to be very, very passionate people and they appear to love it and they're all posting the selfies on social media and talking about it all the time. So they must love it every single time they put the trainers on. So therefore, I must love it. It doesn't happen. You'll see all these memes on social media and how wonderful running is, and it really is. But it's physical activity. It's effort. You can't love every session because there's going to be those frustrations. And again, if you go into it with your eyes open, you embrace it and you expect to not love every session, it will keep you on track. Number 6, beware the temptation to overdress or overhydrate. I think all new runners can be guilty of this. So let's tackle the clothing first of all. You look at the weather, you're in the house, you're nice and warm, you can see the trees blowing in the wind, you're thinking it's going to be freezing out there, I need to be wearing everything I own. You know, the hoodie, the long jogging bottoms. And actually you might not have a full wardrobe of perfect running attire initially. Why would you? Because you're getting into the sport, you're finding what works for you. But many runners do overdress. So what happens is, 10 minutes or even 5 minutes into that session, the stripping off, and then you're having to carry everything as well, which is not good. And if you overheat, you're going to feel particularly uncomfortable. So dress for how you are going to feel 10 or 15 minutes into that session. Don't dress for how you feel as soon as you step out the door, because of course you will probably be cold, particularly at this time of year. Now, there's a big grey area with hydration and drinking water. And we spoke to somebody on the podcast recently about this very subject. And there's different government guidelines, and there's different running coaches have opinions, different runners have opinions. Look, when you're first starting out, you don't need to overhydrate. In fact, in reality, you don't really need to take water with you. If you are taking water with you as part of your early sessions, your Couch to 5K sessions, the odds are you're dehydrated before you start. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you're taking water with you and you feel you need it, it's like a comfort blanket. Well, I need this 750 mil bottle of water. You don't. You really don't. So it's something to think about when you are out there and you're starting, you're taking your first steps, learning to run. So number seven, don't expect easy to feel easy. Easy effort, which is typically conversation pace, so you should be able to talk at an easy effort. But for new runners, you have only got one speed, because you start off and you don't run, and then all of a sudden you start to run. Well, that's the effort, isn't it? It's stop or go. So if you have it in your mind, well, people are talking about easy and it should feel easy, and I'm out there and I'm running for 3 minutes, walking for 2 minutes, and it doesn't feel easy, it won't. You know, think of it like a gearbox on a car. When you start to run, before you run, you don't have any gears at all, right? You're in neutral. Then you learn to run, okay? So your first gear is fifth, believe it or not. You've got your top gear because it's hard, it's an effort. As you develop and as you improve and as you get closer to 5K or whatever your target is, as you go beyond that, you'll start to build your gearbox up. So actually what happens is easy becomes easy because you've got a range of speeds or gears or zones or efforts or whatever terminology you want to use to describe it. So don't think that initially it must feel easy, because it just won't. Number eight, understand the four stages of learning, and more importantly, know where you are at any one point, because again, this is new. You've not created a habit yet. We don't want you to fall off. We don't want you to just say, oh, well, I tried it and I didn't and I'll have a go, you know, next January. We want you to stay on track and achieve it. So you are going to have frustrations. And if you understand the four stages of learning and where you are, that will help keep you on track. So number one is unconscious incompetence. If you cast your mind back to when you first learned to drive. So when you were 15, you probably didn't know that you couldn't drive. You had unconscious incompetence. You couldn't do it, but you didn't really know you couldn't do it. That's stage one. Stage two is conscious incompetence. So all of a sudden, you start having driving lessons. You hit 17, all your friends are driving, you're up for it, you want a piece of the action. You very quickly become aware that you can't do it. It's your first lesson, you can't drive, and you're fully aware of the fact that you can't drive. Stage three is when you've had a few lessons and all of a sudden you become consciously competent. So you can do it, you can drive, but you've really got to think about it. You've got to focus on what you're doing. You've got to read the road ahead. You've got, you know, think about where the gears are. And the final stage, the fourth stage, which is where we are all heading, is unconscious competence. So you can do it and you're not even thinking about it, which is how we get to work in the morning. You don't think about driving, it just happens. If you apply that to running, it's really important that you know which stage you are in. So when you hear runners talk about, well, I was just out there and I had my own thoughts and I was running, you know, 10 miles and it was beautiful cross country and the birds were tweeting, and you think, ah, hang on, I how do you even do that? Well, they're at stage four, aren't they? And they're totally unconscious. They can do it. They're just not even thinking about it. They're elsewhere. So there is a process to learning. There's four stages, and it's very important you understand them and where you are at any one point. Number nine, which is pretty obvious. This is 14 points if you just joined us, tips for new runners. So number nine, stay patient. Now, I spoke to somebody a while back. He was helping people to run and stuff. And he's just a very keen runner himself. He just wants to give the love back, give it back. And he said to me, he says, yeah, I was speaking to a lady that asked me about running and wanted some points, and she wants to get into the whole thing. And I said, look, don't even bother run. Just walk for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I think it was. It was like walk, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And I thought that was fantastic advice. Now, if you want to start off running, you don't want to hear, well, just walk. But you're trying to create a habit, aren't you? And if you're somebody that's not done any physical exercise before, which a lot of new runners, not all of them, of course, but a lot of new runners fit that mold, that category, then you need to create the habit of doing something physically active for your mental and physical well-being each week. And if you're not in that place, actually, you need to get to that place. So just by walking helps keep that intensity down, doesn't it? You know in your mind each week, right, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to walk 3 times briskly. And that's the start of my fitness journey. So staying patient is really important. And creating a habit of fitness is obviously key. You know, a lot of people will think, well, actually, I want to run to get fit. Well, here's the thing. Why don't you get fit to run? So why don't you start off by walking? Why don't we do some basic strength training or do some fitness classes at a gym to give you a base level of cardiovascular fitness ready to start running? It's just a different way of looking at things. So staying patient is key. Number 10. Now, I always bang on about this to all my runners. Get on soft ground. Reduce the impact. I am a big believer of this. And off-road, which is what I'm talking about, does not mean serious fell running, running up mountains. You're a new runner. You're new to the sport. But actually, just doing some soft ground running is very helpful because it just reduces the impact, particularly if you don't run very well at the start. So I'm talking biomechanically now. As you become better at something, you will naturally improve your technical ability of running to a point. Then you'll reach a point where actually you've kind of learned subconsciously as much as you can, and now what you need to do is then start doing different drills and other little exercises to take that ability forward. But initially, you probably don't run with great technique. So actually, do you want to be pounding the pavements? Possibly not. Now, when you run off-road, so just through a park I'm talking, I'm not talking hills. Remember, you're a new runner, so you don't want to add any more intensity into the mix. You don't want hills. You want as flat as possible, in my opinion. When you start running on soft ground like a park, very important to understand that it is naturally more challenging, but it does help reduce the impact going through the body. Number 11. So we've got four more points to go through. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Dead easy, quite hard to do. You've got friends, you've got family, you've got Jake on Facebook, you've got run club mates. If you're part of a local running club or you're getting involved in Couch to 5K, there may be a local running coach whose brains you can pick. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Learn from other people. Number 12. Focus on your feet. So getting the right footwear is paramount. There is a caveat to this, which I'll mention in a moment, but I really believe that comfort is absolutely key when running. Because it's uncomfortable when you're out there, especially when you're new, you want to be as comfortable as possible. Having the right footwear will help. Now, obviously, there's your local running shop you could speak to. You can get some advice online. Obviously, it's important to have a proper fit, but the single most important factor when selecting footwear, and I firmly believe this, there's so many different brands out there. Well, we'll all have our preferred brand, but the most important thing is size. And many people, when they're new to the sport, will buy their typical size shoe. So they will, if they're a 7, for example, they'll go and buy a 7 running shoe. Well, actually, you need more space in them. Because if you start to develop things like black toenails, you start to get various issues. And if you go and see a physio, for example, if you get to that point, one of the first things they'll want to know is, well, let's have a look at your footwear. You know, many of them will say, bring in the shoes that you're running in. Got to make sure they fit properly. Now, when you first put them on, you'll probably feel a bit odd. You feel like a bit of a clown because you will feel like there's this much space at the end of your feet. There's not, but it feels like that. But I'll tell you something, it will really, really help. And particularly if you go on to running, you take your running further and you start to go longer and longer distances, then your feet can start to swell as well. So creating that habit of actually having the right size fitting shoe is really important. The caveat I mentioned at the start of this point 12, tips for new runners, is don't put too much focus on the running shoe. Now, I'm like a running shoe guy. I've got just boxes and boxes of the things and I love them. And I think many runners are the same, actually, when you get into it. But I see a lot of people and I hear a lot of people, as soon as there's a problem, especially if they're new runners, blaming the shoes. Got to be the shoes. Well, okay, it could be the shoe. The shoe might not be right for you. The shoe might be too small. But it's not all about the shoe. I think it's important to focus on the feet. It's a good place to start, having a proper pair of running shoes at the right size. But it's not, you know, if you pick up an injury or something happens, it's not purely down to the shoe. So just something to bear in mind. Now, number 13, tip number 13 is one thing that I pride myself on. And sometimes it's a bit of a challenge, but I pride myself on getting creative. I try to be creative with the content I give you guys and the different tips and advice and the angles I come from. I try to be creative with the show content on the Running with Jake podcast. I'm also creative with the sessions that I give my runners. Now, sometimes it may be the case that actually a 30-minute easy run is beneficial to one of my runners. But actually, if I'm just giving them that 30-minute easy run every session, that's going to get a bit boring. And they've got to want to get out there and do the session. That's what I really feel. It's like buying a pair of shoes, isn't it? You know, running shoes. Yes, you want the right shoe for you, but actually, then you're going to go, well, actually, I prefer that colour. Or because you want to put them on your feet because you're more likely to want to wear them and go and run. So same with sessions. So I think it is worth making it your responsibility to try and get creative with your training. Now, this can be the routes that you do. Obviously, you're going to be limited initially as a new runner, but you could drive somewhere, do something a little bit different, change the scenery, get creative, because it will feel a little bit monotonous, especially when that's coupled with effort, hard work, because you're not going to be able start to run, when you're first starting running, and just think about other things. You're only going to be thinking, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this to be over. This is such hard work. So getting creative will help. Get creative with your routes, whether it's music, whether it's podcasts. You know, people will have different opinions on that, but on this, but try it. See what works for you. Listen to a podcast. Listen to music. Does it work for you? If you do listen to music, just make sure it's not too high tempo, because you'll probably find that you'll end up working too hard, and therefore you won't be able to meet the needs of the actual session itself. You might want to use a session to run errands. Pop to the shop. Do you need to post a letter? You know, get creative with how you run and how you learn to run, because it will keep you on track. And number 14, which is my final point, is try not to get caught up with shortcuts and marginal gains. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if we want to achieve anything, we would love a shortcut, wouldn't we? We'd love somebody to say, oh, you want to run, Jake? Cool. Well, if you take this magic pill, that's the answer. Or if you follow this plan, it's only 2 weeks, but actually you'll make the same progress that you would make if you followed the common 8-week plan. But shortcuts don't really exist. So you reach a point where, let's say you're 10 years down, 10 years into your running life, if you like, and you've ran lots of marathons, and you reach a point where you're still chasing times, you still want to improve, you still have to personal best. But now, what worked for you when you first started running doesn't give you as much of a return. So when you first start learning to run, you go out and do a week or two of training, you actually get a big return. You know, you get a lot of fitness benefits because you're at step one. But when you're much further down the line, you don't get the same benefits from doing the same sessions. And that's called the principle of diminishing returns. So you're after marginal gains now. So when you look at the likes of taking it to the nth degree now, if you look at somebody like Kipchoge, when he's breaking the, you know, going under the 2-hour barrier, and all the controversy over the funky shoes, improving economy, well, actually, he needs everything but he can possibly get his hands on to improve by, like, you know, 0.4%. You're not at that point. And there's many fads out there. You've only got to read various running magazines or Google stuff. And, you know, there's talk of things like, whether it's nutritional stuff, beetroot juice, whether it's funky shoes with like carbon plates in. And I'm not saying these things aren't useful, but you are not at that point. You will get the most benefits from actually just getting active. And if you start to look for these shortcuts that you think will fast track you, you'll be left disappointed, because actually at the start, it's just about hard work, graft, commitment, dealing with those frustrations that you'll naturally come up against. And I tell you something, it will absolutely be worth it. I'm going to go through a quick summary now. This is 14 tips for new runners or runners making a comeback from injury. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your reviews and your comments and feedback and messaging me directly. This is obviously a very new show. I'm very excited to be doing it. I'm having loads of fun making it, and it's nice to know that you guys are enjoying it too. So 14 tips for new runners. Number one, set a target. It doesn't have to be 5K. It could be distance. It could be duration. It could be just to build the confidence to run down a busy road locally to you that normally you would never entertain. Understand why you want to do it. That's very important. What's your reasons? Why do you want to learn to run? Really understand that. That's number two. Number three is full immersion. Throw yourself into it, man. Read books. Speak to running coaches. Speak to friends. Message me. Whatever it takes, you'll fast track your learning. You'll learn a lot more. Number four, understand that progress isn't one size fits all. We all have different genetics. We have different parents. We have different lives, different tolerance levels. You will make progress at different rates. Number five is don't expect to love every session. It's not real. Just follow me on Strava. You'll soon learn that. I don't love every session, but as long as you love most of them, I think, when you do get a good amount of running ability, that's really important. Number six is beware the temptation to overdress and overhydrate. You don't need, you know, 2 liters of water when you're running, especially when you're starting out, and you don't need to be wearing that hoodie. So leave that at home. Dress for how you feel 15 minutes into the run. Number seven is don't expect easy to feel easy. There's a lot of talk about easy running. Easy is not easy when you're first learning. It's flipping tough. So expect it to be tough, and then you won't be shocked when you get out there and you realize your heart rate's sky high and you're breathing really hard. Number eight is understand the 4 stages of learning and where you are. That's unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and unconscious competence. My gosh, that's a mouthful. Number nine is stay patient. We know that's important in life, especially when you're learning to run. Number 10 is get on soft ground, run on the grass, reduce the impact going through the body when you do pound those streets. It's not always so helpful, so get on the grass. Number 11 is don't be afraid to ask for help. People love helping, especially runners. Man, we're so passionate. We just want to help you, so just ask, accept the help. Number 12 is focus on your feet. That's very important. You need to be comfortable with the trainers. Number 13 is get creative. You have the scope to create something very simple and pure, which is running, and get creative with it. Choose different routes, listen to different podcasts, different music. And the 14th and final point is don't get caught up in shortcuts. You're not after marginal gains. You're starting to run. You're learning to run. You can get big bang for your buck, a lot of return in terms of fitness development just by getting out there and getting active.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Your weekly dose of running motivation out every Wednesday. Never miss an episode by subscribing now.
You know the score by now. If you have a running-related question that you're just dying to know the answer to, then it's hashtag AskJake. Every episode, I will be taking one of your questions and helping you to develop your running. Now, I've had one here from James, and James has got a session on a training plan he's following, which is 3 times 1 kilometre with 2 minutes rest. And he wants to know, is the rest essential in this 3 times 1 kilometre session with 2 minutes rest? Or actually, is it just better to go out there and run 3 kilometres as fast as I can? Now, James, I can see why you would think that, but actually the rest in this case is essential. With interval training, the idea is you break up your runs with periods of rest, mini rest breaks. And what they do is they serve you to help you reduce the intensity, give yourself a moment to relax and rest. And then when it's time to work, you're able to work harder and therefore run faster than you would ordinarily be able to do without those mini rest breaks. So the rest is essential. I hope that helps, James. Get your trainers on. Get out there. Let me know how it goes. Hashtag AskJake. We'll be taking another question next week. That's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Great to have your company. We'll see you back here next time. If you want to keep up to date with all the content from today's show, the show notes are on runningwithjake.com/podcast. You can head over there, check out the photos, the videos, any recipes from any of the things that we talk about on the show can all be found there. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the podcast. Oh, and one last thing. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're dead. I mean, don't die, obviously. Just keep going.